Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 36 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Kinsey Thompson.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
And they want somebody who can work across party lines, and I've proven that I can do that.
Rodkey Atkins made a big announcement today.
Governor Bevin defends a lawsuit prohibiting a type of second trimester abortion.
Two young children were shot and injured in Lawrence County.
Brady Industries' upcoming aluminum mill is reportedly back on track.
Moorhead City Council discussed ways to keep the Kentucky Folk Arts Center open longer.
In sports, Moorhead State Volleyball begins the OVC tournament tomorrow.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain tonight with a possibility of snow or sleet and a low of 32 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Eastern Kentucky lawmaker has announced that he will run for the governor's seat in 2019. House Minority Leader Rodkey Atkins made the announcement just minutes ago at the Moorhead Conference Center that he has filed to run for the Democratic nomination. Atkins says as he traveled the state to support Democrats running for office, he has received a lot of encouragement to run.
They told me they want a governor who can bring respect and dignity back to the governor's office, that they want someone who knows Kentucky, who understands Kentucky, who is Kentucky, and they want somebody who can work across party lines. And I've proven that I can do that as majority leader and minority leader in my time of service in the General Assembly.
Atkins wants to focus on education and creating a strong economy in Kentucky. Attorney General Andy Beshear will also be seeking the Democratic nomination in May.
The state attorney general's office is denying claims that they committed trademark infringement when they launched Mission Veterans Protected earlier this year. The program was implemented to help veterans avoid scam artists. A representative with Veterans Protected says the AG has hurt the New York-based company by using the moniker. Her company assists veterans with filing paperwork to claim benefits. Michael Brown is a deputy with the AG's office. He says the office has spoken with representatives from the company, but they didn't like what he had to say.
Our wording was Mission Veterans Protected with the highlighted MVP. Hers is Veterans Protected with the highlight or graphic that appears to be VP. But there certainly can't be any confusion about what we're trying to do. We're trying to warn veterans about scams. She's trying to provide a direct service to individual veterans in filing claims. Highly, highly different.
Veterans Protected Representative Leanne Murphy Baker claims that no one from the AG's office has been in touch with her, and she intends to file a lawsuit against the office.
Republicans have begun filing to run for Kentucky Secretary of State, an office currently held by Democrat Allison Lundergan Grimes. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Grimes hasn't signaled whether she'll enter the 2019 governor's race, but GOP challengers for her statewide post are lining up. On Veterans Day, U.S. Navy veteran Andrew English officially threw his hat into the ring. English, who also serves as general counsel for the Justice and Public Safety Cabinet, says if elected, he would focus on, quote, expanding economic opportunities, fighting voter fraud, and advancing us all forward as Team Kentucky. Meanwhile, Carl Nett, who lists the U.S. Secret Service and the CIA's clandestine service on his resume, is also entering the race. A press release calls Nett, quote, the only American to have twice taken on and defeated the deep state over civil rights abuses. Grimes has faced accusations that she and her staff misused voter data. Her father, Jerry Lundergan, was recently indicted by a federal grand jury on allegations that he made improper donations to his daughter's 2014 Senate bid. He has pleaded not guilty. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Governor Matt Bevin is defending a state law being challenged in federal court. The federal lawsuit challenges a state law prohibiting a second trimester abortion procedure called dilation and extraction, or D&E. Attorneys for the state's only abortion clinic say the law is an unconstitutional ban on the most common form of second trimester abortions. Bevin had this to say.
The legislature said it shouldn't be allowed in Kentucky. And the ACLU and their lawyers from New York are here saying that it should be. Why say pound sand?
Abortion rights advocates say it's the safest method of a second trimester abortion. The federal trial is expected to last throughout the week.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was in Frankfort to speak on a wide range of topics on Friday. One of the topics he spoke on was the midterm election that took place on November 6th. McConnell says in the wake of the midterm elections, it's time to walk across the aisle.
We'll have to come together to try to make some progress for the country in a time of divided government, which we have more often than not anyway.
McConnell says we will have to come together to try to make progress for the country.
Kentucky's top education official plans to press for a charter school funding mechanism during the upcoming 2019 legislative session. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The commissioner says the mechanism would not necessitate more dollars, but instead show how, quote, already appropriated public school dollars would follow a kid to a public charter school. The Lexington Herald-Leader reports Lewis made the comments at a meeting of the newly constituted Kentucky Charter Schools Advisory Council on Friday. Lewis has said charters show promise in urban communities with low-income kids of color.
That's the very population of kids that we've struggled with the most in our traditional public schools.
That was Lewis on KET in June. While the General Assembly opened the door to charters in 2017, backers have been hesitant to start the process because of the lack of a funding mechanism. Incoming Mayor Linda Gorton has gone on record opposing charter schools in Fayette County. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
Kentucky State Police are investigating a shooting that injured 2 young children in Lawrence County. According to WKYT, the Lawrence County Emergency Management Agency said police responded to a report on Ramey Road Tuesday where the children were shot. Both were taken by ambulance to Cabell Huntington Hospital in West Virginia. Officials said the children couldn't be airlifted to the hospital because of weather conditions. It's unclear if the shooting was accidental or criminal.
One of the 4 relatives accused of the 2016 murders of 8 members of another family in Pike County, Ohio, has waived his extradition. George Billy Wagner III was arrested yesterday in Fayette County. Officials say his wife, Angela Wagner, and sons George Wagner IV and Edward Jake Wagner were apprehended at various locations in Ohio, not far from the site of the 2016 homicides near Cincinnati. Ohio Deputy General Attorney of Law Enforcement Stephen Shoemaker gives details on extradition.
I will be calling the Pike County Sheriff Reeder and try to make arrangements as quickly as possible. It's our intent to get him back to Pike County, so formal proceedings can occur there.
Court dates have not been scheduled for Wagner's wife and 2 sons.
The Kentucky State Police Post 8 in Moorhead received a call about an alleged bank robbery this afternoon. The police received the complaint from a caller at the Citizens Bank in Sharpsburg. According to the police, the caller says an unknown male dressed in dark clothing walked into the bank, demanded money, and then left the building with an undisclosed amount of cash. The alleged bank robbery is still under investigation by the KSP.
A new report warns some of Kentucky's recent educational gains may be in jeopardy. Data from the Pritchard Committee for Academic Excellence suggests the state is in danger of losing momentum on preschool enrollment and elementary and middle school reading and math. Pritchard Executive Director Bridget Ramsey says the declines may have something to do with a series of shifting accountability standards and education reforms over the last decade.
So in 2008, we were still under the Kentucky Education Reform Act. In 2009, a new bill passes and the Unbridled Learning Accountability Model was developed. And then in 2017, a new bill passes, and we're now implementing a 3rd accountability model under the federal ESSA legislation.
The Pritchard numbers show Kentucky dropped from 24th in the country in preschool enrollment in 2008 to 41st in 2018. It also indicates that in 4th grade reading, an area that had seen improvements, the state slipped from 8th in 2016 to 17th in 2018.
A $30 million power line project for Brady Industries' upcoming aluminum mill is reportedly back on track. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, Brady signed a letter of commitment for Kentucky Power for pre-construction work on the power line several months ago. The company just recently received a conditional certificate to begin work on the power lines and create a substation for the mill. Allison Barker is the corporate communications manager for Kentucky Power. She says for power companies, this process is standard procedure.
Anytime a utility like Kentucky Power wants to expand its system, whether it's a transmission line or distribution, we go before the Public Service Commission to seek a certificate of need. And when you're talking about a project like Brady's that is so large, the electricity it will demand to run its mill, they need much more than we currently provide to the park.
Barker says the reason it may seem so complicated is because massive aluminum mills like Brady's aren't a common sight in the Commonwealth.
The American Academy of Pediatrics released an updated policy last month which recommends parents stop spanking as a form of discipline. The policy states that spanking has the potential to cause long-term harm, including aggression, brain changes, substance abuse, and suicidal behavior in adulthood. Patricia Purcell is the president of the Kentucky chapter of the AAP. She says research for the subject has been going on for quite some time.
The American Academy of Pediatrics published a new policy statement, and that has been picked up by the press or whoever. And part of it is, you know, we want to get the word out from the American Academy of Pediatrics that spanking is considered corporal punishment. So it's not that it's people have been looking at it, and it's just that this new policy statement really brings everything together nicely.
Purcell says the policy includes alternatives to spanking for different situations.
The Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 is ready for snow. That's the word from spokesperson Alan Blair. He says crews are ready to react accordingly in the face of bad weather. He says they have been planning ahead when it comes to taking care of snow on the roads.
All our crews are ready to be called out. We have stockpiled all of our salt, got the salting equipment calibrated so that it puts down the right amount on the road, and we have all of our plows ready. So everything is ready to go for snowstorms now through when the season ends in April.
Blair says whenever a snowstorm hits, crews will be responding and working 12-hour shifts around the clock to remove the snow.
The Montgomery County Homemakers Bazaar and Vendor Fair is back for another year of goodies and entertainment. People come from all around to purchase everything from jewelry to makeup and all sorts of handcrafted gifts. This fair will also be featuring various dance teams, JCROTC, door prizes, drawings, and pictures with Santa. President of the Homemakers Club and Vice President of the County Club, Ellie Centers, speaks on the proceeds of the door prizes and how they will contribute to the local community.
Well, the homemaker proceeds, we do after prom parties, we do 4-H scholarships, we help some of the schools for Christmas, we help the ladies that do the Afghans and caps for the babies and the cancer patients.
This event will be taking place at the Montgomery County Extension Education Center on Saturday, November 17th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Taking a look at your local weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, a 100% chance of rain, snow, and freezing rain. Steady temperature of around 34 degrees. Tomorrow, a 100% chance of rain with a high near 40 degrees. Tomorrow night, an 80% chance of rain, possibly mixed with snow before 3 a.m., then a chance of snow, lows around 30 degrees. Friday, a 10% chance of freezing rain before 7 a.m., cloudy throughout the mid-morning, then gradual clearing with a high near 47 degrees. Current temperatures in your listening area are 32 degrees in Flemingsburg, 33 degrees in Maysville, 37 degrees in Ashland, 36 degrees in Grayson, 37 degrees in Inez, 33 degrees in Mount Sterling, 32 degrees in Lexington, and 34 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
Last month, a group of students from area high schools attended the Teen Writers Day out here on the campus of Morehead State University. On our feature segment today, we will hear from two of those writers.
Hi, my name is Kenseth Shropshire. I am a junior at Round County Senior High School, and my piece is called This, I Believe. I believe that everyone should be able to be themselves without the fear of being judged, because no one should feel less than. No one should feel that they have to change because that's who they are. Why should anyone feel or think that they are superior? Why should anyone think that when someone is being themselves that they are messed up or weird or that it's wrong? I'm sorry, does me being myself somehow affect you, personally, physically, directly? When are you going to let me be myself without me watching over my shoulder? When am I going to be able to hear laughter without thinking I did something wrong or embarrassing? When am I going to be able to breathe, to live a normal life? At this pace, never. but I would be able to live in peace when you stop judging, so why wait?
Hi, my name is Arrow Wilson. I'm a senior at Bath County High School, and this piece is called Red Against Red. Red against red, my blood blending with the red lockers as it flew from my mouth. My cheek was turning red from the imprint of his fist. The kid just turned and walked away. He's mumbling about how the trainee deserved it. To this day, I've been telling you I'm a boy since the first grade. Around here, ignorance clogs your ears. At this point, I should have been used to it, but it made me mad. Luckily, I was small and quick, so I could run some, but he caught up to me, and I realized that this isn't a thing that should be happening. I didn't cry because my ribs were ready to break. I didn't cry from the cuts on my face and arm. I didn't even want to cry, because he just reminded me that boys don't cry, but I cried. I cried for your ignorance. I cried for the many years of being told that God wouldn't love me for being the boy I was born to be. I cried for the years I spent ready to throw myself into a coffin from the fear my family would leave me behind in my pre-dug hole. I cried. I didn't cry from the pain. I hope you realize that. I didn't cry from the constant kicks as he reminded me I was born a girl. Yet he'd never do this to a girl. I cried because I thought bullying like this was over. I was in high school now, living as a happy transgender boy. But I was in high school now. I had to remind this boy and myself that I'm still a boy. Red against red. Red. The red lockers at my school. The red blood threatening to stain the cold gray floors. The red line going down the center of the hallway, which was the only thing I could force my eyes to focus on. Red hot anger from the boy and I both had clashing against each other. His anger against the unknown. My anger against the uneducated, red against red.
That's Kenza Shrupp Schreier from Round County and Ara Wilson from Bath County at the Writers' Day Out event at Morehead State University. It's 4:47 and 34 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Kenzie Thompson, here with Cody Robinson. We're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this chilly Wednesday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Morehead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center presenting the 34th Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 1st. A holiday tradition and open to the public inside the Laughlin Health Building on East Main Street in Morehead. More than 100 regional vendors of handmade arts and crafts, antiques, seasonal ornaments, and decorations. More information on Facebook under Downtown Morehead.
It's tournament time for the Eagles, reporting for WMKY Sports. I'm Tilden Johnson. The Morehead State Volleyball Eagles will begin OVC tournament play tomorrow. The Eagles, who are currently 20-9 on the year, are gearing up to take on SEMO in first-round action in the OVC. The Eagles will be bringing three all-OVC offensive players with them down to Clarksville, Tennessee. Eagles coach Jamie Gordon says that though the three key players were very good this year, he adds, they didn't act alone.
Olivia Lohmeyer, Jesse Walkman, and Chandler Clark. It's not a surprise that all three of those players are stellar students first, and then really excel on the court as well. And with any individual recognition that all three of those women are well deserving of, it's also a reflection of the commitment and the hard work that their teammates put in. And they would each be the first ones to deflect the spotlight really towards their teammates and the ones that help them put themselves in an opportunity to be successful.
Tomorrow's game is slated to start at noon. The University of Kentucky basketball Wildcats are now 1-1 on the year after downing Southern Illinois 71-59 Friday night. The Cats are hoping that momentum will carry over into tonight's matchup with the Notre Dame Fighting Hawks, who have won their first two matchups this year. Cats coach John Calipari says that he takes full responsibility for their early dismays against Duke, but says that through this, he's learning about his team as the season progresses.
I knew Bahamas, there were flaws, and I knew that's not who we were going to be. Today we grinded. We need to score easier, but we had to grind it. But this thing, as we go forward, is you're held accountable. This is what we're asking you to do. So it is holding their feet to the fire to say this is what's acceptable. And what you'll see is a much more disciplined basketball team. That's not on these kids. That's on me. The way they played up there, each of them looked bad. Not one of them looked good. That's on me. And I let them go out there and play that way.
Tonight's game tips off at 9 o'clock. The Morehead State Basketball Eagles are continuing to play in the 2K Empire Classic. The Eagles are 1-2 on the year after a two-loss start to the Classic. They fell to Syracuse 84-70. They then fell 82-70 against UConn. But head coach Preston Spradlin isn't just focused on the current year. He's already planning ahead with some new signees to next year's team.
Talon Cooper. Talon is a combo guard with great size and great feel. He can score it on all three levels. He's someone who makes all the guys around him better, and he's going to add some great length and skill to our roster next year, and we're super excited to make him a part of our program.
The Eagles play Missouri Kansas City on Friday. They then turn around and play either Green Bay or Eastern Washington on Saturday. Authorities have identified a former college basketball player in Kentucky as the victim of a murder-suicide in suburban Kansas City. Police in Shawnee, Kansas found the bodies of 27-year-old Courtney Bivens of Kansas City, Missouri, and 34-year-old Joshua Mobley of Mission, Kansas, near a park on Sunday. Police say Mobley shot Bivens and then himself. Police in Kansas said that they were close friends, but they weren't in a domestic relationship. The Lexington Herald Leader reports that Bivens played in 19 games at Western Kentucky University before transferring to Campbellsville University, where she graduated in 2013 with a biology degree. Campbellsville said that Bivens, who previously went by the last name of Clifton, was a nurse and had been actively pursuing a career in anesthesiology. The university said that funeral arrangements have not been made. Browns general manager John Dorsey says that interim coach Greg Williams will be interviewed to be the team's next head coach. Williams took over when Hugh Jackson was fired on October 29th after winning three games in two-plus seasons. Dorsey has been pleased with how the team has performed under Williams, their fiery defensive coordinator. The 60-year-old Williams coached Buffalo in 2001 through 2003. Dorsey said Williams deserves the chance to be considered for the full-time job. And veterans Drew Brees, Julius Peppers, Antonio Gates, and Vernon Davis are among the 32 nominees for the NFL's Art Rooney Sportsmanship Award. Each team nominates a player for the award created in 2014 to honor the late founding owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers and a Pro Football Hall of Famer. The award recognizes players around the league who exemplify outstanding sportsmanship on the field. The Cincinnati Bengals have a new addition to their coaching staff with Cleveland's ex-head coach Hugh Jackson. After being let go by the Cleveland Browns after three wins in two-plus seasons and a winless season last year in Cleveland, the Bengals picked Jackson up this week to be an assistant to head coach Marvin Lewis. He says that despite the bad run in Cleveland, Jackson thinks it's made him a better person.
Do I wish I never left? Nah, I don't. I think the experience in Cleveland was good. You know, regardless of what the record was, I mean, it was an opportunity and an experience, and I could, you know, you can't get those back. I think I'm a better coach for it, you know, having gone through it. But at the same time, you know, nobody wants to have that kind of record, you know. But I'm looking forward to being here, helping this organization win, and getting this organization back to where it needs to be.
The 5-4 Bengals will take on the Ravens this Sunday. And lastly, in sports, college football playoff rankings held steady at the top with Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan, an unchanged first four from last week. The third rankings of the season were drama-free after every top 10 team won last weekend. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football will have a senior celebration for their final home game of the season, hosting Drake on Saturday. Kickoff is 1:05 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell as shares of Apple rolled over and dipped into bear market territory. A decline in bank shares also pressured the broader market, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 205.99 at 25,080.50. The S&P 500 was down 20.6 at 2701.58, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 64.48 at 7136.39. Apple fell 2.8% and briefly traded 20% below its recent all-time highs, dipping into bear market territory. The decline comes after Guggenheim downgraded the stock and UBS cut its iPhone estimates. Investors have been worried the company's iPhone sales will slow down in the near future. The stock actually traded higher earlier this morning. Other tech stocks fared better today. Facebook was up 1.5%, while Google was up 0.625%. The Spider S&P Bank ETF fell 1.6%, erasing earlier gains after Democratic Representative Maxine Waters said the Trump administration's efforts to curb banking regulations will come to an end. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and Citigroup all traded lower. Waters is expected to take over as chair of the House Financial Services Committee. Stocks were also lower after comments made by Representative Bill Pascrell of New Jersey. In an interview, Pascrell said the updated trade deal between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico needs to be changed before it can pass through Congress. Equities rose earlier in the day as oil climbed and rebounded from a 7% plunge in the previous session. Crude actually today posted its first gain in 13 sessions. Prices have been under pressure recently amid fears of an abundance of supply and not enough demand. Of course, recently President Trump actually made tweets referring to OPEC, saying that he hoped the group would not actually cut outputs in a move to buoy prices. The fall in crude has also sparked worries of a global economic slowdown. And in the crude markets today, West Texas Intermediate finished with a gain of 0.8% at $56.13 a barrel. Gold was up 0.7% at $1,212 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down today, with the Stock 600 index down 0.6%. In the Far East, most markets were weaker today, with the Shanghai Composite down 0.7%, and the Hang Seng finished down 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Dow, DuPont, and Home Depot. The worst performers were Travelers and Apple. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Coty and Advanced Micro Devices, while the worst performers were PG&E and Progressive. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Humana down 13.76 at 320.31, Community Trust Bank down 75 cents at 44.82, Walmart down $1.36 at 101.58, Yum Brands up 15 cents at 89.18, Marathon Petroleum down 30 cents at 63.87, and AK Steel was down 2 cents to finish at 369. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250. Taking another look at your weather forecast for the week. Tonight, a 100% chance of rain, snow, and freezing rain. Steady temperatures around 34 degrees. Tomorrow, a 100% chance of rain with a high near 40. Tomorrow night, an 80% chance of rain, possibly mixed with snow before 3 a.m. And a chance of snow, lows around 30 degrees. Friday, a 10% chance of freezing rain before 7 a.m. Cloudy throughout the mid-morning, then gradual clearing with a high near 47 degrees.
Music Industry Club presents We're an American Band, a tribute to classic rock of the 1970s at the Moorhead Conference Center at 7 p.m. on Thursday, November 15th. All ages are welcome. Admission is $5 at the door and free to MSU students with an ID. That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Leanne Akers, Tanner Boyd, Shamari Mosley, Logan Pemberton, Jack Caudill, Naya Ndweza, Chaz Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. KNN's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from team writers Kenzie Shropshire and Ara Wilson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH and Inez. Our shows are archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Kenzie Thompson for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.